Okay, the power of prayer. There's so many titles that, when you're dealing with prayer, there's so many titles you could pick. So I just thought, well, the best thing about prayer is that it's a powerful tool. It's a powerful thing, and God blesses us with it. What Tiffany read this morning in James 5, 13 to 18. I mean, if you look at it, like, this is just a perfect example of prayers, and we fit into these. You know, some of us are afflicted. We have disorders, or we've been hurt, or whatever. Well, you can pray. And others are cheerful, they're happy, they're in love, they got great family, blah, blah, blah. Well, I shouldn't have said that. All these good things. And you praise God. You sing psalms, and that's praising God. Then some are sick, and we can have others to pray for you. And the prayer of faith and believing will cure the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. God's given us confidence there. And of course, there's always sins. We all have them. But we can be forgiven of them. And we should confess our faults, our bad habits, whether it's anger or what have you. You confess them to other people. And they'll pray for you. Like, that's powerful. And the last part, basically it is saying, the effective, passionate prayer of righteous people, of believers, can do much. There's a lot of power there. So the power of prayer is in the reaction God has when the prayer, when He grants the prayer. There's power in that as He gives it to you. He responds to the petitions of the righteous by releasing His supernatural power towards the object of your concern. Prayer is the way we experience oneness with the Father and receive the essentials needed to carry out His work. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and by petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He wants us to talk to Him, to pray to Him. So who has the right to pray? It's kind of black and white from what we read. Only children of God can claim Him as their Father, as in John 1:12, and benefit from His pledge to answer prayer. God makes no such commitment to unbelievers. We don't know how He deals with that. The single exception is the sinner, like all of us at some time in our life, who asked for forgiveness and received Jesus Christ as the Savior. God has given His children the privilege of calling on Him for all their needs. He also included the right to petition Him on behalf of others. When we meet God's requirements, we can be confident that He will not only hear our concerns, but act on them in accordance with His purposes, with His plan for us. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, His plan for us, He hears us. Have a cutesy little story. A friend of ours, grandson, Braden, he's about 5, and he goes to Catholic school in Clinton. And they were talking about God and talking to God and things like that. So a little while later, the family went into church. And little Braden, he's walking in and he's saying, God, God, God. It's cute. And I'm sure God had he listens to children. He has to. But he probably had a smile on his face. But Braden was a little upset. He didn't hear back. Maybe someday in his life he will. How to pray. The Bible teaches believers to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That's in John 14:13 and 14. Whatever you may ask in My name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in My name, I will do. So what does it mean, praying in His name? Well, it means that we recognize that Jesus has paved the way for us to access the Father. Praying in His name indicates exercising the authority He has given to every born-again believer. Jesus, the heir of all things, has made us fellow heirs with Him. Praying in the name of Jesus signifies agreement with His will. You are asking the Father to grant your need as Jesus would ask if He were in your position. Jesus taught us how to pray effectively. Ask. Start off by asking. We come to God with our request. This acknowledges our need and our belief that God will meet it. Then you seek. When we petition for something, God sometimes expects us to get involved. For example, if we pray for a job, He'll supply wisdom and guidance and possibly open a door for us. But He expects us to walk through that door, to pound the pavement, to knock. In carrying out the Father's will for us, we'll encounter obstacles, challenges along the way. So to overcome them, we need to be zealous and persistent in our prayers. Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:9-13. Therefore, pray in this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is just a great example of a prayer. It covers so many bases. It covers from praising God to your needs being met, and also the future. So if you're wondering or thinking about, okay, how can I pray today? What should I pray about? Think about that prayer and inject something in there that you can definitely say. Looking back at James 5:16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, I wanted to delve into it a little bit more. The fervent prayer, it's motivated by a deeply burdened heart. Fervent prayers are red hot, filled with passion and a strong sense of helplessness. Also, they are focused on a specific need, not the shotgun approach, but on one need or difficulty. And the righteousness, a righteous man or woman. As soon as we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that God raised Him from the dead, we stand before God as His children. At that moment, we are permanently sealed with the Holy Spirit and declared righteous before God. So that's us. That's us in that verse. In 2 Chronicles 21-15, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, he's basically being invaded by armies, and he's going to lose. The country's going to go down. But he was a God-fearing man, and he prayed for help. But, he's a king, but it was not beneath him to go to the nation, go to his people, and say, "You pray with me, we need to do this." And they did. They fasted and prayed, and God listened, and the invaded armies actually started killing one another. So that solved the problem. But at that point, the point I'm trying to make is that praying as a group of believers, for a common need, is powerful. This is further expounded upon by Jesus in Matthew 18:19. "Again, I say to you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as regarding anything that I shall ask, it shall be done. It'll be done for them by my Father in heaven." We're being told here that there is power in numbers. So pray together. And we do that here. It's just a great thing to do. If you want to transform your prayer life, start declaring the attributes of God as much as your personal request. This is something I need to do more. The Old Testament is full of examples of this. Like, read Psalms. David just goes to the top praising God. There's just so much material in there. And again, you've got to praise God and as well as ask for your needs. So that, again, the challenge here is to for your prayers not to be self-centered, but to be God-centered. Now, with everything, there are hindrances. Yes, you can say the adversary is trying to kick butt here, but so if we approach God's word with a distracted mind or pray with a drifting focus, we have a divided heart. The Father deserves our full attention. In Matthew, this is evident in Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's putting God first. A wavering faith. It's doubt. A wavering faith doubts about God's character and dependability. Don't let feelings or other people affect your belief. In James 1:6, for the one that doubts is like a wave of the sea, being driven by the wind and being tossed, and you can say tossed to and fro. In 7, do not let that person suppose or think that they will receive anything from God. Wrong motives. God doesn't respond to selfish desires. Pray for his will be done, not ours. Conflict in relationships. Being resentful, not forgiving, or angry with others will affect your relationship with the Father. He wants a peaceful heart. Lack of generosity. God is displeased with those that are not generous. That's with your time, with money, with helping others. There's a whole raft of generosity things. Indifference. Apathy to the scripture is certainly a stumbling block. God gives us his word so that we can get to know him and serve him. Failure to apply his word will result in a distressful prayer life. Unconfessed sin. God promises to forgive our sins. We all know that. That's in loose terms. But in actuality, God promises to forgive us once we admit our sin and turn away, repent. An unrepentant heart always hinders our prayer life. Protection seems like an odd one, but there at times God remains silent because he's protecting us from unexpected circumstances. That reminds me of that song of Garth Brooks, where he's thanking God for not granting his prayer, because this woman is better than that woman, type of thing. Remember, the adversary doesn't want you to have a serious prayer life. He will make you feel undeserving, throw logs on your path of life, and try to drown your expectations. He can't stop you from being saved, but he can try to prevent you from being that powerful, successful, great example, loving child of God. Now, the priority of prayer. Have you ever put off prayer time or Bible reading because you're just too darn busy? If so, well, you're telling God that your schedule is more important than his. And you could say, well, I'll make up for it tomorrow. Sorry, Father. But that's not good enough. Our Father does not consider prayer an optional part of the Christian life. It's a shame, because an active prayer life empowers you to face the challenges of the day. It turns sadness into joy, weakness into strength, ignorance into wisdom, and anger into love. Actually, the busier you are, the more prayer time you should have. Yes, we have a helper. Praying doesn't come easy to some people, but the helper is there. In order to pray effectively, most Christians feel that they need help. For starters, you can always listen to others, because there are other people that have eloquent prayers, meaningful prayers. So you can listen to them, and of course, practice makes perfect. We must realize praying is a supernatural exchange between the believer and the Father. That's where the gift of Holy Spirit comes in and acts as that vehicle for communication. In Romans 8:26, and likewise, the Spirit also joins in to help our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes on our behalf with groanings that cannot be uttered. Christians should never feel guilty about how they pray. Anything is listened to God. The indwelling Holy Spirit understands our needs and our burdens and carries them to God even when we feel we can't express them. Just thinking about something, God is hearing you. So, praying with impact. If our prayer life has become as mundane as a shopping list, then change it up. Figure it out, because communicating with our Heavenly Father is a vital part of our Christian life. If you're struggling, ask these questions. How effective are my prayers? Is the Lord answering, but I'm not hearing? Or are they just falling to the floor? Who am I praying for? The me syndrome? Or for others? What am I asking for? Are all these things of an earthly desire? Or do my requests align with His plan for me and you? When do I pray? Is it only when I need something? I can tell when, before I knew that I was a believer. It's really a hard thing to define. Sometimes people know, bang on, yes, I'm a believer. Yesterday I wasn't. But, you know, if you believe that, believing God, you believe in His Son Jesus, and you believe that He died. Like, even back in my younger days, I believed that, but I didn't have it put together. I needed help there. But anyways, I know for a fact that I only prayed when I needed something. To have a vibrant and effective prayer life, you must come to the Lord with a clean heart. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity, trouble in my heart, Jehovah will not hear. You must align your needs with His will and believe that He will do what He says. Remember in John 14:13, that's prayed in the name of Jesus. When you will pray with confidence, knowing God is listening, then you will pray with confidence that God is listening. I wasn't sure whether to put this one in, but it's evident that our Christian country is being invaded by godless trends of many types. So God has shown us in 1 Timothy 2:2 that He showed it that we can pray for our nation. We can pray for our leaders. And we must do so to clean up the act. He wants it so that we can live in a peaceful, godly life, and that we're able to have fellowship together, and that we can witness at will. We're free, and that's what we need to pray for. The opposite of a prayerful impact is the price of the prayerlessness. Sounds awful, but it is. When you fail to make a prayer a priority in your life, that's basically, you're forfeiting your time alone with the Father. We will begin to feel emptiness in our hearts, accompanied by that unfamiliar sense of unrest and uneasiness, because we're not used to that. If you have a good prayerful life, you're not used to these things. Then you will become accustomed to weariness and heartache, and eventually you'll feel lost without it, because it becomes the norm. Actually, you're a disaster waiting to happen. Not just for you, but for people around you. In contrast, you must have an active prayer life to be happy, faithful, loving. All those fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 and 23. Now, waiting for God, listening for that answer. I heard this long ago. It's the pregnant pause. Because it takes so long, I guess. The world is so full of empty static. In order to hear God, you must have an undivided attention on Him and His Word. You know, our Heavenly Father hears and answers prayers, but sometimes the wait is excruciating. Why? Well, different reasons. The Father sees that maybe our attention is misdirected. Our relationship with Him should have priority over earthly matters. In Mark 12:30, everyone knows this, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. That's putting God first. So often we gaze away from God and only think of our own little needs. So He may delay answering until we refocus on Him. In other instances, He waits because the timing isn't right to grant the request. Perhaps people's thinking has to change, events have to occur. There are times when the Lord wants us to grow our faith. He will do that by having us watch for His response. In essence, we're looking in the mirror. He wants us to learn from the waiting. If you go freaky and blah, 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 you're not learning. But if you're thinking more of Him, reading more scripture, praying more, then your spirit is growing. Your faith is growing. Patience. That's what it is. During which the Holy Spirit will work in us to bring forth righteous fruit, as in Galatians there. Other reasons can be for wrong motive. James 4:3, "Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." You're just asking for the wrong thing, guy. And for habitual sin. His delay may be to prompt us to confess the sin and to repent. Benefits. Now to the good part. When we give time to God by way of meditation, meditating on His Word, focusing our thoughts on Him, and praying, talking to God. Praying and talking, I just thought they were the same, but no, they're different. You can just walk around talking to God. That's something I've got to learn to do. We will accomplish much in our... He will accomplish more in our lives than we could ever do by ourselves. He will give us wisdom to make those right decisions, increase our strength and energy, and free us from guilt and anxiety, and give us peace. One of the greatest gifts we can give a person is to lift them up in prayer. Got terrific examples in Galatians 1:9-14, where Paul is talking to the church there, and he's building up the people, the parishioners there. All right, miracles. That's a major, major benefit. We all know people that where prayers have been met for different categories, I guess. And those are all miracles. Every prayer answered is a miracle. And I think about myself. I shouldn't have lived. Just shouldn't have lived. What my body went through shouldn't have worked out. But God must have had plans for me. But, you know, you think about the recovery aspect of everything. It was you folks. A friend of mine has a church, or comes from a church with 1,000 people, and he says they prayed for me and many others. And all my bones were broken, and that's prayer. You know, Paul's thorn in the flesh, you know, he wanted to get rid of it, and just God wasn't taking it from him. Why? Because he wanted to remind them that it's not just Paul, it's God that's running the show. So Paul remembers that. I remember that all the time. You know, that's another. That was a part of it all. Oh, I skipped that one. Sorry. Going back to Paul, I should have said it. Oh, that was a miracle too for Paul, because he was stronger afterwards. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that was miracles. You know, I think about, you know, if I wasn't here, I wouldn't yell. Shoot. You know, hold my grandchild. Mm-hmm. Thanks for that, folks. Mm-hmm. So when your prayer life is active, burdens will be lifted off your shoulders by the mighty hand of God. You will communicate with God and hear His voice and understand and follow His will for your life. Praying is the most important aspect of the Christian walk. This is how you and I experience God's best. So pray much.